Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Curfew Boys would like to start this episode following the elimination of the Toronto Maple Leafs to pay a small tribute with a nice moment of laughter.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of the Curfew Boys. Let me introduce you to my boy. We got GQ Chris in the house. What's up, GQ?
Hey, now. Feeling great. Today's a particularly nice day. In some provinces, more than the others, you can start smelling the golf green. Very, very, very nice spring scent in the air. Let's leave it at that.
I feel good, too. Your host tonight, Anxious Anthony. Before we get this episode started, if you like what you hear, you can listen to us on any podcast platform you have, Spotify, Apple Music, and any other ones you guys like to listen to. If you like what you hear and see, you can follow us for more content on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. If you want to see our beautiful faces, you can subscribe and like our channels on YouTube. And that's it. And if you guys like what you hear or don't like what you hear, please leave us an honest rating and review. Only thing that will make us better. GQ Chris, it is a beautiful day today. I'd like to wish you a happy Leafs Elimination Day. How are you feeling, my man? How are you feeling?
Honestly, it's a wonderful. It's one of the better days of the year. And I'll start off by saying, like, you know, there are good fans, there are bad fans. For a lot of those loyal and good fans, I actually feel a little bit badly for them. But with regards to the team themselves, the media, I don't think it's any surprise. You can go back to just about any single one of our episodes where we've made mention of this hockey team. My personal take is that, to start off with our beloved Montreal Canadiens, we know where we're at. We know that we're rebuilding. We know that our team has been pretty crappy for the last few years, and we can look at ourselves in the mirror and say that, you know, it was to be expected. We're still a few years away. We're still not going to be competing. And feel free to laugh at our team for now at the simple fact that we are not competitive. We don't have that glorious, we're not reflective of Les Glorieux that have been around for years to come. But with regards to the Toronto Maple Leafs, my bone to pick is that you spend a whole year turning on TSN, turning on Sportsnet, listening to hockey games on Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada. And everything that is said is with regard, or every 2 seconds, they will take the opportunity to push Maple Leafs content down your throat and how they're different this year and how they're better. And you hear the maybe borderline and maybe a little bit more of the ridiculous fans. Every fan base has them, but the ridiculous fans of the Maple Leafs always, always trying to convince us that this is their year where it's going to be different. And it's going to be that much better. And it's our year to win the cup. And Austin Matthews is going to show up in the playoffs. And Mitch Marner is suddenly going to perform. And all I want to say to all of these fans is that if you are going to be celebrating your team and forcing every other fan in the NHL to be subjected to your bullshit delusional fandom, well, today is a glorious day. And as that is said, let me make it perfectly clear that your team has a history of sucking. You guys suck. It's been 57 years. I don't want to hear it. And for those who are listening to us on Spotify or just listening to the audio version, I am officially sporting a beautiful Maple Leaf Suck t-shirt. The back reads "Loser since 67," and I think in the spirit of the season of Maple Leafs, the Maple Leafs losing yet another year, yet again, setting a record for losing for the sixth time in the last decade in a game seven. It's just, Anthony, to come back to the base of the question, it's just a wonderful day. It's fantastic.
I mean, we can just end this episode right there and then. It's perfect. It's beautiful. You know, you're right. Look, that was awesome. Chris, well done. I love that t-shirt. Maple Leafs suck. To all those listening out there, let's hashtag Leafs suck and for another year and more. It's like about 20,000 days and counting that these guys have not won the Stanley Cup. That being said, look, you know, I posted something on Instagram yesterday when the game ended saying, you know, time to dismantle this team. Hashtag Leafs suck. And pretty much every Leafs fan that I follow, the same comment, eh? Shut up, bro. Where are your Habs? And I got some of, where are your Hams? Or where are your Hams? Or this Habs suck. That's their only argument. It's look at your team. Look at your team. See, there's a difference between my team and your team. Okay, and my fan base and your fan base. I get it. You're right. The Habs are not in the playoffs. Yes, the Leafs are there. Habs are there. Amazing. I get it. But there's a fucking difference. Okay, I'd rather be in my position. And this is what I feel, okay? And I'm sure most majority of the Habs fans feel the same way, and any other fan base feel the same way. I rather be where I'm at than where they are, okay? Why am I saying that? You guys have a fucking Stanley Cup team on paper. We can all admit that, right? We can hate them all we want, but, you know, I'm here to speak the truth and be a realist at the same time. On paper, they look like a Stanley Cup projected team since 2013. And every year, we start the year by saying this is, well, not us, but the Leafs fans say this is our year. The media says this is our year. And the realists say there's a good chance these guys are going to go to Stanley Cup Finals. But they never surpass the first round because they choke. So, and because they suck. So I rather have a shit team like the Habs and not make the playoffs, then have a fantastic, good, talented team on ice and not win a fucking first round. I'm sorry, but I'd rather be in that position. That being said, okay, you want to talk about... So that's one part of my fucking, tantrum here to the Leafs. But another thing, you want to say we suck? Yes, we may suck, but I can guarantee we're better than you guys. You know why I'm going to say that? Let me say this. Since 2013, with a talented team that you guys have, if you're listening, Leaf fans, since 2013, with a talented team, remember those words, talented team, you've had 7 first-round exits and 1 second-round exit. So since 2013, with a talented team, you've got eliminated 7 times in the first round and went to the second round once and lost. Okay. Habs since 2013 with a shit team. Yes, we're Habs fans admitting that we have a shit fucking team. Okay. We have a shit team. But since 2013 with a shit team, we went to the second round twice. We went to the conference finals once. And we went to the Stanley Cup finals once with a shit team. So let me say that one more time if you're not listening. The Leafs in 2013 with a talented team went to the first round 8 times and lost 7 of them and only went to the round 2 once and lost. Habs since 2013 with a shit fucking team, went to the round 2 twice, the conference finals, and the Stanley Cup finals. Yes, we lost. And that was one of the arguments I had with one of the Leafs fans yesterday. Oh, well, you lost there. You lost. Doesn't matter. We still got there. Where did you go?
No.
So, yeah, that's my little rant. To conclude all that, Leafs fucking suck. I got another argument yesterday where, oh, you're Canadian and you hate the original six like Boston Bruins. And this. Why would you want Boston to win? I'll answer that question right now. And we've said this in a couple of episodes ago, and we all said it. We all agreed to this. I hate the Bruins, and I hate the Leafs. But I've learned to respect the Bruins. Until the day that I die, I will never, ever, ever show any kind of love or respect for anything that has to do with Toronto. It's a fact. It's the truth. We hate you. You suck. You suck and you suck. That's pretty much
it. Look, Anthony, I love the way you put it. You capture the emotion of it. But the reason I want to come back to a few points of what you're saying and why I would rather be in the Montreal Canadiens position of a rebuild, a tough rebuild, 3 years back to back to back that we have not even made it to the playoffs. Number one, I've said it and I've said it again, and I will say it once more right now. You take a guy like Cole Caulfield in his rookie season, essentially had more playoff round wins than Nylander, Matthews, Marner, and Morgan Riley combined. That in itself is an embarrassment. Again, you guys have players who are generational talents. I have no problem saying that Austin Matthews has a goal scoring ability unlike anything that we've seen in the last two decades. Maybe Alex Ovechkin has that capacity, but in all seriousness, I'll throw that to regular season Austin Matthews, and I think that's a good specification to make. Regular season, when the going gets tough, I said it right before playoffs started, when the going gets tough, these guys get going. And not going on the ice, they get going off the ice, they get going making excuses, they get going losing. When you have players that are this good, but they become, I'm sorry to say, full-fledged chicken shit players all around, they can't, they disappear in the playoffs. If you look on the game-winning goal, Marner didn't pick up the pass from that goal to win the series. Marner didn't pick him up. Nylander is literally floating slower than a Timbit hockey player, and Morgan Riley just got walked around. Well, he didn't get walked around, but Morgan Riley, again, not there. I have a little bit of respect for Morgan Riley as compared to all the guys that have been listed to date, but all that to say that, nevertheless, you are not going to win with these guys. I hope that it's the beginning of just the complete implosion or explosion, whatever you want to say, for the Maple Leafs. Mitch Marner, John Tavares, unfortunately, is way past his prime. He's not the same guy, taking up way too much space. And I am just hoping, fingers crossed, with everything that there is, that they officially give up on this group of guys. They don't go to a coaching change, because that's another thing too. Sheldon Keefe is a joke of a coach. I don't know if you heard the pregame speech. He's saying, guys, just relax and enjoy this. You take a guy like Craig Berube before St. Louis went out and won the Stanley Cup against the Boston Bruins, saying, we're the fucking best team. Go out and fucking give it all, and we're going to fucking bring the cup. And I'm sorry to swear, but those are pretty much the exact words that he used. You talk about a coach like Toronto has no backbone. I'm hoping, like I said, that they blow up the team before they put in a coach who's going to give them that sort of backbone and give them that sort of dignity and pride to actually go and battle. But if Toronto pulls the trigger and blows up the team before that happens, which, again, fingers crossed, I hope it happens, we're not going to be subjected to this crap. This is our year. This is whatever. I think we're going to start to see the downward spiral of the Maple Leafs and just the general happiness of Canadians across the country go up. I'll leave it at that. You ghost players, I have no respect for you. Tyler Bertuzzi was probably one of the only guys that showed heart. You have Ryan Reeves, who's just trying to keep up with the game to bring in toughness. Of course, you want to know who actually brought the most toughness and respect to your team. It had to be a former Montreal Canadian, one of the big four that got us to the Stanley Cup Finals, Joel Edmondson. Mm-hmm. He's one of the few flattened Pasternak. That's playing with pride. That's playing with toughness. That's what you need in the playoffs. And this spineless hockey team that, again, is continuously forced down our throats, and we have to listen to this garbage and this make-believe and this, you know, keep playing in your little story world on your little carpet in your playpen, Maple Leafs and Maple Leafs media. It's It's embarrassing. And I am so happy. Anthony, you captured the emotion so well. And I'm just so happy that they're out. I take this day to absorb it all in and really just, I look forward to the next time. Like, for example, the Rangers are currently playing Carolina. I look forward to opening up my TV this evening and watching Vegas versus Dallas because I won't be subjected to their bullshit. It's done. At least for another few months, I don't have to hear any Maple Leafs crap.
We're gonna get to the round one review and the second round, but before we get there, I mean, you said it, Chris, and I'm gonna say something to put aside the hate of the Leafs and my rant that I had before of how much I hate them. And I mean, I don't mind keep saying it all episode how much we hate these guys, but being a realist here and just, you know, bringing down a notch and being more a bit on the respect side, like they are okay. I hate that I'm going to say this on a recording after saying I hate these guys. And I do. Don't get me wrong. I do. But at the end of the day, we're all fans of the sport. And I'm one to admit if you have a good team or not, if you played well or not or whatever. And I'm going to say, I mean, the Leafs are not a bad team. Okay. I think this is where the problem is. And I'm going to repeat this from many episodes ago, and I'm going to keep saying this. The way the Montreal Canadiens are building their team, they're doing it right, right? We're building a team from the beginning, from scratch, a young core, players who never played with each other, players who just met each other, and you're learning to grow together. Now, the good ones stay, the bad ones leave. You know, you find what fits perfectly, like a puzzle. You know, like you're building the team from the bottom up, and everybody starts learning how to grow together. What the Toronto Maple Leafs did, they did it a little differently, and they just put a bunch of talent together with high salaries, crazy ego in the same dressing room, and it's only normal you're not going to get a successful team. On paper, like I said before, and everybody says this, they're a great team. On paper, they're a fantastic team. If I were to build an NHL 25 PlayStation game, I would put these players on my team, like the Matthews and the Martins and the Nylanders. But you cannot, and that's a PlayStation game. In real life, you cannot put all that ego together. There's something.
To add to your point, before you move on, I just want to give you more fuel to your fire. It's not only on paper. The whole regular season, these guys dominate. They actually do dominate. It's not simply on paper. They actually do dominate.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So yes, even better. They do dominate, and I'm going to say it. I'm not, even though I just said before how much I hate these guys, they're a good team, a good regular season team. They're fantastic. They're a scary team on the ice. Come playoffs, these guys cannot play together. There's something wrong, and we can say any speculation we want. You know, I did say a couple times in our group chat that Matthews is the cancer of the team. I could be right. I could be wrong. I don't know, but I'll say what I say in what I saw. I saw that the moment Matthews got benched for whatever reason, they say he got sick or we'll never know the truth, but they fucking fought on the board, on the bench, the Fab Four, if you want to call them, you know, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, and Matthews. They were fucking telling each other off. So disgusting to see when you have players fight publicly like that, especially on important game, you know, you're fighting in front of everybody, which is so dumb. But anyways, that being said, the moment that happened, Matthews was gone the day after. They said it was an illness, whatever you want to call it. Maybe he was sick. I'll just speculate that he wasn't, and something happened between the four. And guess what? Everybody else came out strong. Nylander played amazing. Domi played amazing. Marner played great. You know, I feel like they're the shadows of Matthews. Matthews is a great player. I'm not saying he's shit. He's a great player, but I feel like him on the ice, the other guys were just hiding behind him. The moment he was gone, they go on, what, three in a row with him gone? You know? And I think if Matthews was benched yesterday, they probably would have won game seven. But that's my opinion. I'm going to say what Sammy says. Sammy sent us a message to say this on the podcast. I'm going to read word for word as if he's here. And we're going to end this Toronto talk and get to the round one review. But this is what Sammy said. If the Bruins play the same way against the Panthers, they'll get eaten alive. Their best players need to be their best players consistently. Only Swayman was their best player consistently. Their shitty game made the Leafs look somewhat better. Nylander was the only threat amongst the forwards. Matthew Nyes as well. Joseph Woll was their best player that gave them a chance. I agree with that statement. And last but not least, okay, Sammy's went against what I said. He wrote, Matthews is not a cancer for the Leafs. He was the only forward playing two-way hockey, maybe Nyes as well. Plus, he got an assist in Game 7. If the team was scoring a lot of goals, including some of the power play without Matthews, then maybe you can question it. But it wasn't the case. The real problem is the coach. He needs to go. No accountability and no winning culture. Fuck the Leafs. Thank you, Boston. Now, fuck you too. I mean, he said it. And I agree with mostly everything he said. I didn't say Matthews was a cancer. Again, it was just speculation on my part. He could be, he could not be. I don't know. Boston did make Toronto look better on the ice, that's for sure. But again, I don't know who to point fingers at. The Fab Four has to go. Okay, good players, but they cannot play together. There's no chemistry. There's no winning culture in this league. I think if they change that culture and move things around and get rid of some key players, I think they could be a good future team. But till then, continue playing this shit. You know, thinking that you're going to win every year with what you have, you're not going to win with what you have. I can say these guys are like the someone close to the New York Rangers in the 90s before the salary cap came in. You know, hot talent, crazy talent, high paid players all put together in one room. It doesn't work. I'm sorry, it does not work.
Yeah. And look, that's another thing too. He might have played well. Woll might have played well, but they still don't have an actual starting goaltender. We're going to spend the summer having to hear how much of a great goaltender Woll is and how he's going to be the next freaking Vasilevskiy, Carey Price, and Martin Brodeur mixed all together. Barf. But you have no solid defenseman other than Morgan Rielly, who's questionable at times. You have no true number one goaltending. Woll only came in as a result of like a few different problematic things occurring, so was not even to be expected. And in all honesty, like we said, coaching changes. I think Sammy's dead on accurate. They have a loser, spineless, not tough. I think Matthews and Marner run that locker room more than Sheldon Keefe. So he's a horrendous coach for that team. They need discipline. They need more toughness. And it's not going to get tough players. It's getting those players who play like, pardon me, bitches in the playoffs. Those guys, if they can toughen up, I'd rather not see that reality come to fruition. Number two, after the coaching and toughening up those players, get yourself a few more half-decent defensemen. At yes, what cost is probably going to be at the cost of... Yeah, it's going to be at the cost of like a Marner.
Like, look, yesterday's goal, though, it was a crazy bounce. And it was just, if you listen, I don't know if you were watching it that moment, but the commentator said it. Every overtime playoff goal ends in a crazy bounce or a funny way. Mm-hmm. And 5 seconds later, that happens. It was just crazy timing. Joey, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm not saying that Woll was a spring and it just happened. No, it was a really bad bounce. But you can say that Toronto's defense was not fast enough to catch that. I mean, how did Pasternak just come out of nowhere from that?
Well, that was. I have to say, I have to throw some credit. And like I said, as this round is done, I just want to say in voice like Sammy, officially fuck Boston now.
Yeah,
it's time for the Panthers to absolutely shred them. But I just want to leave it on this too. Until the Toronto Maple Leafs change their tune and change their mentality and really get... You want to know what Matthew said at the end of it all? You want to know how he compared Boston? He said that team last year in the regular season accomplished and had the best season. Number one, that's last season. Number two, Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci were still there last season. And most importantly, you're talking about the regular season. Change your mindset. It is such a loser mindset. And if I'm like, I'll leave it on this and then we officially do the round one wrap up. Toronto fans, always, always, always space for you to come and cheer for an actual, team that'll gratify you with some wins and some excitement in the playoffs. Montreal Canadiens, hell, even I have respect if you start to go the way of McDavid and Edmonton to go watch some actual entertaining hockey come the postseason. But for those unfortunate fans who continue to get abused year after year because your team lets you down because they have a losing mentality, I will say the city of Toronto, it's not a city of champions. It's a city of excuse making and losing.
Yeah.
As simple as that. Now, round one wrap-ups.
Yeah, let's take it away, into that. So, Leafs, we hate you. It is what it is. Let's finish that off. Round one review. Let's go to our brackets. Let's talk about our little challenge between each other. Curvy boys. I mean, right now we have Sammy and Chris at the top of the list. Tonight we'll decide who has a perfect round one bracket. A perfect round one bracket. So Sammy's bracket is nearly perfect with, depending on tonight. So if Dallas wins, he has a perfect round one bracket. And if Vegas wins, Chris, you have a round one perfect bracket. So we'll see tonight how that plays out. So I will look at Sammy's bracket right now. So we have Florida. Let's talk about the Florida-Tampa series, the Battle of Florida. And we all knew Panthers was going to take it. They have a great team. They played fantastic hockey. I think Tampa is reached to their end. They're still a good team. Don't get me wrong. I mean, even with, they were a dynasty. They made a dynasty. They won so many years. Even we can call it the COVID seasons, if you may. But they had a really, really good team. And it's coming to an end, but they still have some talent. I know they're going to have to dismantle that team for salary purposes and just restart the rebuilding. But they kept Florida on their toes. But Florida is just a great team, and they won it in where? In seven, no? In six. No, in seven. Right? No, in six.
Did they not? I think it was five, man.
In five.
Oh, why am I? I'm not losing
at,
my
I'm
mind.
I'm looking at Sammy's. Sammy predicted 4-3.
Hold on. You're throwing me off now. I'm all. Let me just turn here. Yeah, they won it in five.
Florida, one and five. Sorry, because I'm looking at Sammy's bracket and it says 4-3. I thought that was the end result for some reason. It was his prediction. There's a big X on it. I should have seen that, but I'm so dumb. Yeah, they won in five. They won in five.
That's a good series. Look, you maybe being a part-time citizen there down in Florida. I hope you get the chance to enjoy this team in the near future. They're really coming into their own. Bobrovsky, I absolutely adore Bobrovsky. I'm really happy to see him winning and playing as dominantly as he has been. But that team is just so well built. They're tough. They're fast. They're skilled. They're smart. They're strong defensively. They obviously, like I just said, great goaltending as well. Good coaching. And I think, there's only so many compliments. I think Florida could go very far. I definitely think that Florida can take whoever's coming out of the Rangers-Canes series. Let's not get too far ahead. Let's do some analysis. But all that to say, Florida could go very, very far this year. And with regards to Tampa, I'm 100% behind what you're saying. I think Tampa is going to be faced with a few tough decisions. Not only Stamkos, we had that discussion in the last podcast, whether or not he's going to be somebody of interest. Do the Canadians take a ticket on him and then listen and try to see whether or not he's available? But you're also going to have to start factoring in what are you doing with Hedman? Are you building around Kucherov? You have Kucherov and Braden Point, but there are some individuals who are getting a little bit up there in age. And again, when your number one defenseman, Victor Hedman, is starting to get there just slowly, Vasilevsky is starting to get to an age where, you have to start preparing for the next generation to come in. And unless they start sucking soon and start getting some really good draft picks, the transition for the Tampa Bay Lightning is probably going to be a rough one. And it's all going to depend on whether or not they're willing to move those players. And it would have to be probably sooner rather than later, because they are officially on the decline.
Yeah.
Vasilevsky was not Vasilevsky. Victor Hedman is not Victor Hedman. Stamkos, very good, very respectable style of play. Again, we always talk about that hockey culture. Fantastic, like just great hockey culture. But at the end of the day, they are not the dominant team that they once were.
No.
I have to say, I'm very happy to see that.
Not the same hate like the Leafs, but it was a hatred that we had based on, you know, coming from the Stanley Cup 2021 season. But okay, so Florida going to round two against Boston. So we're not going to talk about the Boston-Toronto series. We've spoke 30 minutes of that. quick prediction on that. I mean, my prediction for my bracket was Florida being Boston. How about you, Chris? Florida being Boston?
The exact same thing. Florida's destroying Boston. And Sammy, that's another thing, too, that I want to say that Sammy mentioned. We're not going back to the Toronto-Boston series, but Boston did not show up to several of those games. If Boston plays like that in the second round, he is dead on right, Sammy, that is. He is dead on right to be saying they will trample them. They will destroy them. Again, that effort has to be completely different, because Swayman is not going to be enough to stop the Florida Panthers, not even close.
Watching Boston play the way they played, Florida can take it in four. Okay, simple as that. But you have the Pasternaks who woke up in Game 7 and other players who kind of woke up. They're just missing that grittiness, that the old bad Bruins blood, right? They're not there.
Yep.
I haven't seen that in a while from them. So if they can maybe step that up, They might have a standing chance, or even show us a little fight in this series. But from what we saw in round one with the Panthers and how Boston played against Toronto, Florida can take this in four. And I still, this until the end, I will say Florida's taking it all. But we shall see what the future holds. One round at a time. The other side here, we have round one: Rangers versus Washington. That was a joke. I mean,
joke. And you know what? You know, there's one thing that I'll say about that series. Shame. I love you, John Tortorella, but shame on pulling your goaltender and having the Caps win, because the Caps had no business there. And the Detroit Red Wings.
I would have loved to see Detroit instead of Washington.
I would have much rather to have seen a younger team like Detroit.
Yeah. It was sad.
And so I'll leave it at that. Like, good on you. Good on you. Rangers for like absolutely destroying the Caps. Sorry, Alex Ovechkin, that, you know, I think right now it's not about going in far in the playoffs and winning another cup. For right now, I just want to see Alex Ovechkin win that goal scoring title. But I always feel bad to see Alex Ovechkin lose.
No, I respect Washington. I don't hate them at all. It's just, it was sad to see, you know, like there was no fight. I mean, yes, I'll give it to Rangers. They're a fantastic team. And even though I said Florida's going to take it all, if Rangers play Florida in round three, if it gets to that point, it's going to be a really close one. Rangers is a great team. They're being led by Panarin. Even what's his name? Lafreniere woke up. He's hot. He's playing fantastic.
We're going for some good pastries over here.
But he woke up. He's playing fantastic hockey. The Rangers are a scary team. That being said, I felt bad for Washington. They just didn't show up. They're not the same team anymore. Even that's another team going on a decline like the Tampa Bay Lightning. They need to make some crazy decisions as well, tough decisions. Maybe if Ovechkin wants to hit his, you know, try to beat to make history and beating that record against Gretzky, maybe it's time to go to a team that can help him achieve that goal. I don't see him doing it in Washington, you know. I don't. That team is coming to a decline. He doesn't have any help anymore. He can't do it by himself. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's funny what you're saying, because I didn't think of that. I didn't even spend time thinking about whether or not, like, I'm just taking it for granted that Alex Ovechkin is going to beat that scoring title. He's going to surpass Wayne Gretzky and have more goals. But all that to say that you're right. I'm not sure if Washington Capitals are going to be the team. I think he deserves to do it in the Caps, and Caps fans deserve to see it happen all in a Montreal Capitals, in a Washington Capitals jersey. But that said, if Alex Ovechkin, like, you know, Kuznetsov went away for a third round pick. Like, Kuznetsov is a huge piece, and he's dominating. We'll get to the Carolina series in a second, but Ovechkin might not have the support necessary to get to that record level, and they might have to
didn't do it by himself. Gretzky didn't do it alone in LA. He went to St. Louis. He went to the Rangers. His goals were accumulated by multiple teams and multiple players that he played with. I mean, it was a different era back then. You know, I want to say this, though, and I'm not taking anything away from Ovechkin. Please, I want to say that I respect Ovechkin. I want him to hit that goal. But being a hockey fan and being a realist too, like, two different eras, I think it would be harder to hit that goal back then than now, because now it's a scoring league, right? It's a faster game. It's a fast speed game. There's more opportunities to score than back then. Back then, goals were harder to do. Let me restart that. When Gretzky started, it was a little easier to score because, you know, goalie pads were smaller.
Goalies were atrocious.
But then in the 90s, things started changing, right? It was a tighter game. It was harder to score in the 90s. That's what I'm trying to say. So I think Gretzky played in two different eras where it was easy at the beginning, then it got harder. But now Ovechkin is in an era where it's a faster game. More goals could be done. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that Gretzky had it easier or harder, but let me just scratch all that out. Sorry, I forgot about that. The whole goalies were horrible back then, smaller pads. Okay, let's forget what I just said. And moving on. So yeah, I feel bad for the Capitals. They got destroyed. They didn't even show up. It would have been nicer to see Detroit against the Rangers. That being said, Rangers is going to the next round against the Carolina Hurricanes. So let's get to the Carolina versus Islanders series. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was an easy pick, Carolina over Islanders.
Yeah, it was a no-brainer. Matt Barzal had a few fantastic moments, made a few spectacular plays, scored some great goals. But, let's go back to that old expression that we used about 20, 30 minutes ago, on paper. On paper, they had no business like matching up with Carolina. Everything all around, like, Carolina's going to be one of those teams that could go all the way to the finals. Could win anything. I think right now the teams to beat are very much Florida, Carolina, New York, Colorado, and perhaps I'm really hoping Edmonton. Like, even in my predictions, I said Edmonton to win it all, but that is a long shot before those other teams that I just mentioned.
Yeah, sorry, I got distracted, but yeah, you're right. What did you think of Patrick Roy in his first, you know?
I think he did well. I think he managed his emotions fairly well, called timeouts when he was supposed to, pull the goaltender. Maybe, again, he was infamous for pulling the goaltender back when he was coaching in Colorado a little bit early. But I think all in all, you know, good showing from him. But the guy, you can't fault him, because the team that he had, the team that he inherited, he turned it around significantly, put them into a playoff position. They got five games played, but yeah, the guy might be able to do something in the eventuality.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Islanders is building to become a good team, and you said it. You know, Patrick Roy turned things around and made them a playoff team, just not enough to beat the Carolina Hurricanes. That series ended what, in five? I'm looking at
Sam. That series was in five.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So yeah, Carolina is just another level of hockey. I mean, we said it 2 years ago. They were a hot team. They're a team that could go far and surprise everybody. Round two against Rangers. That's going to be a fun series. I'm actually looking forward to that series. That two good teams playing against each other. I think Rangers is taking it. I know Sammy's prediction is Carolina beating the Rangers.
I've also got Carolina beating the Rangers.
Yeah, you have Carolina as well. Let's go. Let's see everybody else here. So you have Chipman Adri. He said Carolina as well. And then you have Zook, who says the Rangers. I said the Rangers as well. And Joey. I'm very surprised. Joey, you know, Joey picked what's his name? The Islanders to beat Carolina.
The Islanders, yeah, I saw that. That's, I was like, what the hell kind of pick was that? That, you know what, Joey, for you who's listening, that was as bad as me saying Josh Anderson could score 30 goals two seasons ago. Shame on you. That's
Shame on you, Joey. You know, shame on you. It was more of a chance of Gallagher hitting 30 than fucking Islanders beating Carolina, okay? But anyways, so even Joey states that Rangers is. So Rangers, myself, and Zook were saying choose Rangers to beat Carolina. And you and Sammy and Adri are predicting Carolina to go to the third round. So I guess we shall see how that goes.
Do we jump to Colorado? We have three other series to analyze, and maybe one last prediction for tonight. But if we were to jump, let's say, to Vancouver, Nashville.
Yeah, let's
go to Vancouver, Nashville. Six games. Vancouver took it. What's your take?
Vancouver surprised me. Okay, they had a very good season this year. I for all year long I said, you know, Vancouver is a good team this year. They're gonna go far, but something told me towards the end that Nashville could do it. Their goalie towards the end of the season was hot. And you know how my belief is, a hot goalie in the playoffs can take you far. Vancouver surprised me. I want to say that. I'm happy for them. It's going to be nice to see two Canadian teams face each other. So you guarantee a Canadian team going to the conference finals. But that being said, the selfish part of me is I don't want a Canadian team to go to the finals because... And I know a lot of Canadians out there listening to this might want to shoot me in the head, but I just, the selfish side of me, the Habs were the last team to win, to bring the home, the cup in Canada. I want them to be the next ones to bring it back. That's my selfishness. But then again, I don't want a Canadian team to win, but it's going to be nice to see a Canadian battle in the playoffs. We haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, 100%. And on the Vancouver side, again, I was very, very lucky to actually see Vancouver play in Vancouver a couple weeks before the end of the season. Fantastic team, extremely quick, good balance on the offensive side of things. They have a defenseman that, you know, that's the type of defenseman that Toronto was missing, that they're, I really hope he doesn't go anywhere near that team. But Zadorov has been absolutely fantastic. Think of him almost being similar to a Jack Eye, just more mature and older, but big man, 6'6", very heavy, putting the puck into the net, contributing here and there on the offensive side of things. Vancouver has a really, really, really well-balanced team all around with toughness, speed, skill. The only thing that's going to suck for Vancouver is that the goaltending issue. They had an injury to their goaltenders, and I think they're at their third string goaltender at this point in time. And that's why, well, we'll get to it in a second with the playoff predictions for the next round. But, you know, before then, Edmonton and Vancouver, Los Angeles Kings, Edmonton destroyed them. And I said skill, speed, this, that. Edmonton's speed and power play are insane.
Yeah.
Insane. The power play alone might be the reason why they're going to get. If you are not disciplined against the Edmonton Oilers, you might be done. That might just be enough to kill you, shoot yourself in the foot, whatever you want to say. The Edmonton Oilers execute so quickly. Zach Hyman just has to stand like a Montreal traffic cone in front of the net, and he gets goals because McDavid's banging them off him. That team is very, very, very dangerous. They might not have as much toughness as Vancouver does, but I don't know. Stuart Skinner is not looking that bad at all. McDavid and Draisaitl are firing on all cylinders. Zach Hyman is putting the puck into the net. Nugent Hopkins bringing in a lot of veteran leadership. Watch out for the Oilers.
Look, see, that to me is a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs that, you know, they're all talk all year and then come playoffs, they just choke. Edmonton is similar to that point where they have talented players, they just couldn't make it far, but now they're finally waking up and playing together, and they're a really, really good team. I really enjoyed seeing that series. I'm enjoying how they're playing. They can take this far. I see them going far. They're, like you said, very speed. What might fuck them is, like you said, the gritty side of things. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think Vancouver has that. But now where the issue with Vancouver is their goalie situation and the injuries, because that's also what made me, you know, when Vancouver started the series, they're playing well. Then that injury happened. I'm like, hey, it's over. Nashville's taking it. Then Demko came back and it was just, you know.
Thatcher Demko. Did he actually come back?
Did he come? No, he came back one game and then he. Hold on, let me check that. Let me confirm.
I'm not so sure. Like, my God, I'm not.
I could be wrong. Right, sorry, now. I could be wrong because I didn't really fully follow that series. I followed the beginning and then after the injury, I just gave up on it. I thought Nashville was just gonna take it. The last
While you search that up.
No, Silva's paid. He came back. Demko never came back. So yeah, that's. Sorry, so when Demko left, I felt like this series was over. Vancouver surprised us all. I have a father at the school who I do pick up all the time with, and he's a big Vancouver fan, and he said it. He told me the Vancouver's not making it to passing the first round. Okay, I don't think he's a true fan because the last game, that game that they won it, that 3-1, it was 3-1 with 2 minutes left. And then they came back and won in overtime. He didn't even watch it. He predicted that they were losing that game. He just gave up on his team. I don't know how people do that. I mean, I watched the Habs until fucking to the end. But anyways, that being said, that game was, that was the momentum booster, right? Like, you're down 3-1. There's 3 minutes and 25 seconds left. You know, I mean, Nashville thought the game was in their pocket. And they even missed the open end. It hit the post, right? And then... Vancouver came back, tied that game, went to overtime.
Patrick in the last seconds of the game. That was fantastic.
It was a nice game.
And that's the, that is the type of thing too. Like I was talking about Edmonton, and I still have Edmonton beating. In all honesty, especially with the goaltending situation changed, and the Edmonton Oilers Sammy offense
Sammy has Vancouver beating Edmonton.
You know, it's not a bad pick. It's not, if you want to go either way, if you're a fan out there and you're debating who's going to be winning this series, honest to God, it's a good pick either way. I just think that Vancouver's a little bit behind. They might have some of those tougher defensemen, but Edmonton has so much talent. Like you say, Quinn Hughes is fast, but Connor McDavid is faster. Connor McDavid can make a guy like
choose them. I think the goalie situation screws them.
And but then again, like you said, that goalie situation is a toss up now. But at the same time, like how many times has Stuart Skinner just randomly shot the bed in the playoffs? Let's hope for his sake that he plays better for the sake of Edmonton Oilers fans. I hope he stays locked in. But
yeah,
it's a toss up, fans. It's a toss up.
It's gonna be a toss up. It's gonna be a. Let me tell you, it's going to be a great series. They're good talent, both talented teams. And you're right. It's, you know, you have speed against the grittiness, but then the whole goalie situation is a toss up. So I think the best goalie wins the series. Let's give it that.
Yeah.
I think everybody chose Edmonton to go to third round except Joey and Sammy. So let's see how that plays out. What's next?
Colorado, Winnipeg.
That surprised the fuck out of me and kind of pissed off about it. I'm going to say my take on it and then I'll let you go quickly. I'll say it quickly. Since February, if you guys remember, Okay, I've always said the finals of this year will be Colorado versus Florida. I said it since February. All of March, my prediction was always Colorado versus Florida, Colorado versus Florida. I guess the media kind of, persuaded me a different way towards the end when, 690 and other Sportsnet, and when I was listening to some podcasters, they kind of made me think that if there was any upsets this year, any crazy upsets, because if you think about it, there's no crazy upsets. Everything was predicted. Florida beating Tampa is one thing. Boston beating Toronto, it was obvious. Rangers winning, Carolina winning. The East was a very easy prediction. On the West side, everything looked easy as well. So the only thing that would have shocked everybody was Winnipeg beating Colorado. No, if I said there's any upsets, it'd be Winnipeg beating Colorado. And I thought that was going to happen. Game one was insane. You guys remember game one, Winnipeg, Colorado?
Yeah, 7-5.
It was a beautiful hockey game. We both said in our group chat, I'm like, the Habs will never be able to compete to this. Never. It was so fast. It was so good. It was just great hockey. And then Winnipeg just declined. Like, Colorado was a great team, but I don't know what happened to Winnipeg, because I strongly believe that they could have really turned things around and beat them.
I want to give credit to Colorado. Stanley Cup champions just a handful of years ago. They know how to win. The core is intact. They got a superstar forward. They have a superstar. They have the best defenseman, let's be honest. They have the best defenseman in the whole damn league. They have one of the top five, I'd say top three, if not top two forwards in the world right now. I think it's McDavid and McKinnon that are right up there at number one, number two. But Winnipeg, there's something about, like, Connor Hellebuyck, who is, I said the last episode, Connor Hellebuyck, who is a Vezina Trophy winner or
that's what candidate year after year,
he sucks. I'm sorry to say, he sucks in the playoffs. And I don't want to make this comparison, because I have a lot more respect for Jets fans. We don't have that garbage pushed down our throats constantly. Again, with Winnipeg is going to win, Winnipeg is going to win. But Winnipeg reminds me, strangely enough, of Toronto, in that they have all this crazy talent. They have Kyle Connor. They have Mark Scheifele. They have Josh Morrissey. They have a Vezina winning goaltender. Like, in all seriousness, it's disappointing. It's a huge disappointment from Winnipeg's side of things. Adam Lowry, their captain, is, he's a guy that I would love to have on the Montreal Canadiens. I don't think that's a possibility, but fantastic player. And I don't know, they cannot take it to that next level in the playoffs. And it's the Toronto Maple Leafs of Manitoba. Sadly.
Yeah, no,
very sadly.
Yeah, no, you're right. But at the same time, I mean, the way the season ended, Hellebuyck, the way he was playing all season, they had the opportunity to be the upset. They had that. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, like I said, looking at this bracket, it was easy predictions. But
Winnipeg was the top-ranked team.
Yep.
They were superior to that of Colorado, but it's just, yeah, they could have.
They just couldn't.
Technically, I think everybody expected Colorado, so I agree. They could have upset Colorado.
Especially after the game one. Game one was just, again, it was beautiful hockey. Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, Colorado's going to the next round. I think they'll take it all the way to the end. They have the team to do it. It's between now, Vegas and Dallas. So I know round two starts now, but we still have a round one game, which is so fucking weird, but with the scheduling and all, even basketball is the same situation. Round two started today with a round one game seven tonight. So I know they overlap, less rest for these teams, but hey, it's hockey. It's business. They got to do it. So now we have Dallas versus Vegas game seven tonight. I said Dallas. I know Sammy said Dallas as well. You said Vegas. Adrian said Vegas as well. We have Zook, who chose Dallas as well. And then Joey went with Dallas as well. So everybody chose Dallas except you. You're the only Vegas prediction here. So I think Dallas is a great team.
It's gonna be I'm gonna see something that's gonna go right down your alley, man. Conspiracy side of things. There's so much money to be made on Vegas going forward. And Vegas too, I know they finished lower in the standings. Mark Stone coming back, Mark Stone being off the books. There's something about it, and it's not what I prefer. I would actually rather see Dallas go through, but I'm just saying there's something stupidly suspicious about Vegas. They're going to squeak through. They're going to do something. Something's going to happen. The reffing is going to be in their favor. God knows what's going to happen, but I have that horrible feeling that they're going to be going through.
I mean, it is up my alley, and I can see what you're saying, and I don't want to agree with you because I want to be right in my bracket, but you're right. It could. Hey, I don't want to get into that topic. It's going to open a whole can of worms of my conspiracy theories and Vegas. I mean, Vegas is just... I mean, I love Vegas. The place, but all these anyways, I don't want to open up that door. So yeah, so that's round one review and our round two predictions. It's gonna be good hockey. We all said it. I said it too a few episodes before the playoffs started. This is a fun year. This is a really great playoff year. This is a lot of good teams, a lot of good hockey. There's no shitty like it. You can watch any game and just and enjoy what you're watching. And round two is just going to be as good and even better. And I'm just excited to see. Yes, I'm happy to see two Canadian teams face each other. And we have a guarantee Canadian team going to round three. That's the Canadian side of me. But the selfish side of me is, please don't do it. The Habs are going to be next, you know?
You wouldn't want to see Connor McDavid. You don't think he's I know you want in the eventuality, but I think I think it's getting closer to the now or never. So because in a few years, don't forget, it's going to be our Montreal. Maybe I'm being a homer now, but it's going to be the Montreal Canadiens. It's going to be perhaps even the Buffalo Sabres, Anaheim Ducks. Those teams, there are a lot of teams that have a lot in the pipeline that are going to be coming through very, very shortly. And I genuinely think that Edmonton's window
is closing.
With Draisaitl.
The window is closing for Edmonton. The window is closing for Edmonton, and I'm one guy who players like the Ovechkins and the Crosbys and the McDavids, like, you know, you have people like Joey who hate Tom Brady, right? I respect talent, okay? Fuck you, Joey. I respect talent, and when you're a very talented player, I do want to see you win. I want you to succeed, and like, it really hurts me to know that Carey Price will never, ever, for the generation player that he was, the goalie he was, he deserved it, and he's never going to get it, and it fucking hurts to see, okay? It's so depressing. But you have the Ovechkin who got it. You have Crosby who got it. McDavid is the missing player right now, and I think he deserves it. So that being said, put my selfishness aside, is I do want to see McDavid win it. Maybe with another team, you know, like lose with Edmonton and go to another team and win it. But all jokes aside, if any Canadian team I would want to see win would be the Edmonton Oilers. And also why I would like to see the Edmonton Oilers win is because it's the only Canadian team that don't have any, the fan base don't hate us. I don't know. There's something about Edmonton. They're calm. They're quiet. They don't brag.
We could say this, but we could say the same thing for Calgary. Although Calgary, there's maybe a little bit more of a history. They beat us to win the 89 Stanley Cup, but even there, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, and Winnipeg, those are teams. It's basically Ottawa and Toronto, that the whole province of Ontario.
Yeah. But Edmonton is just like, but just imagine, like, Edmonton has these superstars and they don't go out saying this is our year. You know what I mean? So I respect Edmonton. Like, I would love to see them win. But again,
thank you for saying that. They have the best player in the world. They have the best offensive player who might have ever played the game. I think there's a debate to be made right there. I know Wayne Gretzky had all these points, but I genuinely think there's an argument to say, given the era that he's playing in, Connor McDavid might very well be the best player. And even at that, You don't hear Edmonton's going to take it, Edmonton's going to win it, Edmonton this, Edmonton that. they say, well, it's a safe bet to maybe bet on them because he could take it to a whole other level. But it's not offensive. It's not hard to digest. It's very subtle. So yeah, great point.
I agree. Before we wrap this up, Chris, I have a question for you. It was a topic on the Curfew Boys Instagram page, but I want to hear your thoughts on it quickly here. Stamkos, Ahab, do you see that happening? Do you see it happening? A and B, would you want it to happen? Do you think it's a good fit?
I think it's important to be able to laugh at ourselves because Stamkos, Stamkos. I don't know who he is, but I would not be opposed to Stamkos. Steven Stamkos, that is, coming to the Montreal Canadiens. As I said in the last episode, I think it's an obligation for Kent Hughes.
Oh, wait, you guys spoke about this last episode. My mistake. I don't know why I brought this up. You did speak about it last episode.
You were thinking perhaps about we're coming up very quickly to the entry level, not the draft. We're coming up to the lottery next Tuesday. So the Tuesday, what are my feelings for the lottery?
Well, no. So I did actually – so I didn't – I will admit that I didn't listen to the full episode. So my mistake on bringing this question up, I'm guilty. So maybe that question to me since I didn't answer it on the podcast. Stamkos and Hab. I mean, it'd be nice for sure to have him, but do I want him? I don't care. Because to me right now, Suzuki is our leading player. Highest salary cap. We're building this team off Suzuki. I don't want any more players who's going to get paid more. Like Stamkos is not going to come and ask for a cut less than Suzuki. It's not going to happen. So if you're going to bring in Stamkos and pay him higher than Suzuki, then you're building this vision that this team is trying to build, building a team around Suzuki. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to have any bad blood, and I don't want this vision to break. So on that note, no, I don't want Stamkos there. Now, if we can get him for cheap, then hey, why not? A nice veteran, talented player who played with Marty and Le Cavalier. Like, it'd be a great piece for this team. But do I really need him and want him? No, it's going to really change the whole dynamic of where we want to see this team go. So sorry for bringing that question up. I know you spoke about it last episode.
Well, but it's great. Like, honestly, the more Kirby boys that can have their take and what they think, it makes for a great debate.
Yeah. This is the question I want to close out this episode. Well, not question. Oh, yeah, it's a question. Where do you predict the Habs get falling into the draft? So the draft is in 48 hours. It's on Tuesday, the 7th of May. I'm looking forward to it. Imagine we get number one. It could happen.
I honestly would love. Would
It'd be
love
a shocker because no one expected.
Like, obviously, I think that's the stupidest comment that I've probably made all episode. That I would love it. I think it goes without saying that every single person in the city, every single Montreal Canadiens fan, would kill to have that first overall pick. I just need people to understand that if the Canadians actually do somehow secure by chance, truly by chance, the first or the second pick, mark my words, we are done our rebuild. Kent Hughes will be acquiring one more star forward to play with Kirby Doc and probably a guy like Demidov. If it's not Macklin, Celebrini, however you want to pronounce it. If that ends up occurring, the rebuild is done on to really being a competitive hockey team within the next 2 years, 2 to 4 years. I think we're going back to a Stanley Cup final. And I know that's an aggressive take to say 2 years from now going to the Stanley Cup finals. I'm telling you, our defensemen come back bigger, beefier, ready to endure the difficulty of going through a physical season and a physical playoffs. We have our goaltending come in. I'm not answering the question, where do I think we're going to land? I am hoping and praying that we can land one or two because that will completely change where we're going to be with this organization. But I think we're going to end up I think we're going to end up at 5 or 6. I'm
sadly leaning on that. No, I agree. I think we're finishing we're getting 5 or 6, or maybe even moving up in the draft, or not moving up, but like I think. Look,
we
said
can't, the odds. I think you know that the odds. We can go to 3 or 4. I think it's like 0.0%
yeah.
chance that we go to 3. As 0% chance that we go to 4. So it's 5, 6, 7, or it's 1 or 2. The chances at 1, I think, are like 8.5%. So it's not terrible. You're almost looking at a 1 in 10 shot. More like now 1 in 11 shot that you actually get that first pick. But, you know, stranger things have happened. And if it's meant to be, you know, say your prayers now.
You know what? I'm telling you, mark my words. I can't believe I'm saying this, but if Arizona gets it, just by chance, it's fixed, because a perfect year to get a number one pack to, you know, you new stadium, Utah, you want to get fans in the building. Hey, let's get that number one draft for you guys to build that fan base. I'm sorry. If that happens, I'm fucking done. If Arizona wins, I'm telling you right now, I'm saying this on a recorded fucking podcast. If Arizona gets number one pick this year, Anthony, myself, will not be a Habs fan, a hockey fan anymore. That's it. I'm saying it. All right, Chris. That being said, great episode. A lot of good content here. Looking forward to watching more hockey. It's not over. Round 2 starting tonight. I'm excited.
Absolutely.
To all of listeners out there, if you like what you hear, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast platform you love to listen to. If you want to see more content from us, you can follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. If you want to see our beautiful faces, like I said, you can subscribe to our channel on YouTube, and please leave us an honest rating and review. It's only going to make us better. And also, to end this episode, hashtag Leafs suck, please. If you made it this far, I want to see a bunch of hashtags Leafs suck on our Instagram page for the next 48 hours. Just bombard us with a bunch of hashtags Leafs suck. Chris, anything else you want to add?
Leafs suck, and they fucking suck some more. And on to next year. I'll leave you off with a little story. My Uncle Joe, we mentioned him fairly often between Sammy and myself. He bought this. We went to go see a Montreal Canadiens Toronto Maple Leafs game right around my birthday. I might have been, you know, just about 10, 11 years old. And he bought me this shirt. And all these years later, it's so amazingly incredible that this t-shirt, whoever made this t-shirt, there was some random guy selling this out of a bag outside of the
I have
Center.
The same one. I have the, so I remember where, I know when you got that, well, somewhat. I had the same jersey, a t-shirt that says Leafs suck. It doesn't say Maple Leafs suck. Mine just says Leafs suck. And I got it on the streets after a Habs game. I went outside. A guy was selling it for like 15, 20 bucks and I grabbed it. Unfortunately, I lost it. I don't know where it is, but it's a beautiful t-shirt.
It's honest to God, to my Uncle Joe, thank you. This gift is the gift that just keeps on giving every single year, every single time the Maple Leafs get
eliminated.
It brings me great joy to wear it. And you know, it's so nice that it is equally as applicable year after year.
That's why the Leafs can't win, Chris. The Leafs can never win, because if they ever win that Stanley Cup, this rant, this talk that we have, it just disappears.
I know, but I have a feeling I'll be passing this on to my grandchildren and it'll still apply.
That's amazing.
And they're going to be like, is that 2067? No, it's 1967 that they still haven't.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. Chris, until next time. Bye now. Good night.